Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
Let's do it, everyone, and get things rolling as we now move into the B block. Bud Dahr is about to make his first appearance on the program for today's Chief Travel Leader Conversation. Mary and I appreciate all of you being aboard with us out there across the USA. This portion of the program is sponsored by Seabourn.
So just last segment, we mentioned after today's show, Robert and I are going to leave for the Old Dominion State to begin the big Let's Go America tour of Virginia Beach, and that's going to be all next week. Some of you listening are going to be traveling with us in Alaska with Seabourn in August for that two-week big Let's Go America tour, and we are looking forward to spending some time together. And listen, the facts are, with a single suite key, you can open the door to incomparable value of all-inclusive, ultra-luxury cruising. And from personal experience, we've shared it many times on this show, we can attest you're going to feel right at home in an intimate, yacht-like atmosphere. You're going to get pampered with highly personalized service. You're going to have a great time.
Folks, this is your moment, so visit Seabourn.com for more info and show specials that include cabin upgrades, shipboard credits, and more. You'll also find a link, as always, at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
Okay, for the past 5 years, whenever we've connected with the CEO of CLIA here on the show, and that's the Cruise Lines Industry Association, Kelly Craighead has been heard across our national airwaves. But that's about to change. Back in February, Bud Dahr took over that role. He's waiting for us right now on the show hotline. Let's patch him in.
Okay, Mary, looking forward to this conversation. Bud, nice to have you here for today's Chief Travel Leader Conversation. Welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Appreciate you joining us today on this Saturday morning. So listen, you know, Mary is correct that your predecessor, Kelly Craighead, has been somewhat of a regular on this show. And since this is our first time speaking with you on air, really, we want to offer our congratulations on being chosen as the new CEO of CLIA. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you for that. I couldn't be more excited and honored to be able to fill this role. And it's really a culmination of bringing together a lot of experiences I had back in one particular role that seems extremely well suited to me. And I'm really enjoying the work.
Well, and we know you spent 7 years in the past with CLIA before moving on to MSC in 2017. So it's kind of a homecoming for you in many ways. You know, I think about it, just like Jeff Freeman of U.S. Travel and Rosanna Maeda of AHLA, who both are show friends, they left their organizations and have returned to become their current CEO. So maybe we're seeing a trend area emerge out there. I don't know. But, you know, Bud, talk about what enticed you to come back and share some of your ambitions for CLIA moving forward.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a guy who just loves ships and things maritime in general. So it's hard for me to envision doing something that's not connected to that. And it wasn't a decision I took lightly to leave the MSC group, where I had a one-of-a-kind job working for an enormous family-owned company doing really engaging, interesting work around the world. And but this was just such a perfect fit for timing and the opportunity to lead an organization that I already had a lot of experience in. And while I was away at MSC Group through MSC Cruises, I was very involved in CLIA as well, mm-hmm. including when MSC Cruises held the chairmanship. So a very familiar territory for me. People I know, people I like, and I've really came together as a package. It just made a lot of sense for me at this point in my career, and so I was willing to leave a job that I loved and move into another job that maybe I even love more.
Oh, well, that's great to hear. And, you know, it's great to have you at the helm at CLIA, and I'm sure many would agree, but it's also great to have you here on the show with us today. We've been looking forward to this. So for our show, we do focus on everything and anything in the world of travel, Bud, which means we do have to stay very close to all of the various sectors of travel. But, you know, we have
It keeps us busy.
We have a great appreciation for what cruise offers travelers and how that's grown considerably, and it does not seem to be letting up. We have a longstanding alliance with Seabourn that goes back to 2017. AMA Waterways has enjoyed being part of the show for years, and we're currently in the process of moving our river cruise partner to another operator. But we say cruising is really, in terms of anything out there, it offers some of the greatest value for travelers, don't you think?
I do, and I think that's one of the things that makes it so resilient over time. And when the economy is suffering a bit, it competes very well compared to the rest of the travel and leisure sector because the value is truly there. But it's not just the value. The experience we're offering through the cruise industry is pretty unique, and it's nice to be able to unpack one time and see different places with different cultures and sometimes different language being spoken every single day. And it's also very well suited to multi-generational holiday options, which is becoming, you know, more and more of a trend. And I think you're seeing that being accommodated more and more by the larger cruise lines, and for good reason. It's really mm-hmm. a unique experience as well as great value that's being offered.
Yeah, we say
it's
that
all enriching.
The time.
Yeah.
So, you know, in recent months, we've had a number of high-end luxury cruise operators trying to engage with us. And certainly I'm sure the successes that we have with Seabourn has a lot to do with that. But, you know, when you look at the luxury end of the ocean cruise sector, Bud, Regent Seven Seas offers ultra-luxury travel experiences. They're investing in their brand and fleet. Their sister company, Oceania, is carving out a nice area in the upper premium space. MSC, that you mentioned, now has Explorer Journeys making waves in the business with new ships. The Reborn Crystal is trying to find their way. And then we have hospitality companies like Four Seasons and Ritz-Carlton. They're focused on growth in luxury cruising. So, you know, we've experienced firsthand with Seabourn the luxury expedition cruising they've moved into. And there are others we could go to. But what is all this investment and growth in the luxury sector of cruise say to you? Do you think there'll be a shakeout or even more players entering the field?
Well, I think it's really interesting to see the new players that are entering that had not really been in this market before. You mentioned a couple of them there. I mean, Seabourn obviously was an innovator and in on the foundation of the luxury end, as was Crystal in its original form. But I think there is a lot of opportunity, and it's not homogeneous. You know, it is a series of different product offerings, and I think it's a little too early to say, you know, which ones are going to be most popular with the guests and demand the higher pricing points over time. But I'm very interested to see how it shakes out, because you are seeing some very different approaches here being applied. And I would like to put it in perspective, too, because you're making a good point about the growth in the luxury and expedition sector, which tend to be considerably smaller ships than you're seeing from the contemporary brands. The perception is out there, and it's incorrect, that, you know, there's just massive amounts of large ships coming into the market, and that's, you know, dominating the order book. Well, yeah, okay. Capacity-wise, there is that, but that's only about a third of the market. Two-thirds of the market today and what we're seeing on the order book going forward is actually small to mid-sized ships. So mm-hmm. I think you're going to continue to see growth there. I think we're going to see some differentiation really start to emerge between the products on the luxury side. Yeah. And I wish them all good luck. And I hope they all, if they're not already, become members of CLIA, because I think we can help them with that.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's the mega ships that are getting all the media attention. So to know that that's a smaller part of the market, I think that's important. I want to talk about river cruising, because you made a great point. There's so many different operators going into different sectors of this industry now, and that is certainly happening. We have Celebrity. We have perhaps Silver Sea entering the river cruise space. Lindblad, Trafalgar, Riviera is expanding here in America, North America. They're a British river cruise company, as you know. Amadeus, the company that helped launch Ama Waterways. So I'd love to get your thoughts on the river cruise sector.
Yeah, well, it's another rapidly growing sector or segment within the industry. Again, a very different product. And I think people incorrectly just lump all cruising in together, and it's not. And that, I think, is a proof point for why travel advisors could continue to play a very valuable role to help differentiate between the product choices that are out there and match up the unique needs of a guest with what the product offerings really are and find the right price point. So I see river cruising, you know, continue to grow. I mean, you look at the order book, it seems like it has to. I think some of the things that have to be dealt with there, you know, are finding enough capacity on the waterways themselves and finding the deployment models that put everything in balance. But, you know, I think those are just, you know, symptomatic challenges to be addressed through a rapidly growing...
Listen, in both of those areas we've talked about, crowded fields, they're all fighting for travel dollars. But I will ask you this. You know, this past weekend was Memorial Day. Knowing your history, Bud, we want to thank you for your service to our country, both the U.S. Coast Guard for many years and the U.S. Navy. I'm curious, you know, whether it's the Navy, the Coast Guard, CLIA, MSC, when did you know, that you wanted to make a career out of life on the water? We've got about a minute with you.
Well, I was working in boatyards when I was a teenager in Rhode Island, and spent lots and lots of time sailing with the customers. I became very passionate about offshore sailing as a competitive sport. That led me to joining the Navy when I was 17. My mom had to sign my contract because I was too young. And really, it's always been maritime related from that day forward. And I'm a lot older than 17 today. But man, what a great place to have landed. I just love the work that we do. I have fantastic staff to work with and great support from the cruise lines across all the sectors, whether it's river, expedition, luxury, contemporary. They've really been super supportive, and it just helped me remain energized every single day to get my team to do the best possible job we can to help make this great industry even greater for the future.
Well, Buck, it sounds like you don't need your mom to sign the papers if you had to do it all over again. So, listen, good conversation today. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Look forward to doing it again. And we hope you enjoy the weekend, okay?
Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Bud. Sounds good. Now. Thank you.
I wish you a great weekend and enjoy Virginia.
We will. Take care,
Bud.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, there goes Bud Dar. Nice first conversation with him. We'll have many more to come, Mary. Folks, after this bottom of the hour break, we are going to get a report on summer camping and some outdoor trends. RJ's here today as well. He's prepping to discuss living the lucid lifestyle for the open road. That'll be interesting to hear. The Destination Spotlight will have us focused on Delaware and the E-Block this hour. Plus, we have a busy hour or two ahead today, including the NCF, Personal Connection Museum Gallery. That all means we'll be right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.